we're really good at getting tickled. Man, Rachel, is she still in here? That was a good word. How many of you guys feel like that sometimes? Your faith just gets stuck in a tree and you have a hard time getting it out and you need the Holy Spirit to blow on it a little bit to get it moving? It's kind of what we're looking at this morning. Do you know Jesus loves you? If you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, you've never said yes to Jesus, you never decided to follow him, you don't even fully understand what that is, you're in the right place. It's good that you're here. I work with some guys that are pretty rough sometimes. And, you know, you talk to them about the Lord and they're afraid that if they go to church, place is going to fall in on them. And it's not going to. God loves you right where you're at. He cares about you. And there's a picture of Jesus knocking on a door. And he's on one side and you're on the other side. And he's knocking on the door. And the doorknob, the significance of the picture is the doorknob's on your side of the door. And what Revelation 3:20 says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal. We will share a meal together as friends. The doorknob's on the inside. Jesus is knocking. Sometimes you feel like you pray, you seek God, you call on him, but it feels like you're just trying to speak to him through a door. Jesus says, open the door. The doorknob's on your side. And I want to encourage you tonight to just be thinking about that as we have been worshiping. The Lord's been speaking to you. He's been saying stuff. He's been laying stuff on your heart. And as I preach tonight, in fact, let's pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, we just invite your presence here tonight. Lord, as I speak, I pray that your Holy Spirit would minister, Lord Jesus, that you would use the words and Lord, just get to the heart, get to the point of the issue, Lord, that each one of us are dealing with and do ministry in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As I preach, the Holy Spirit speaks. And so it's not all about what I'm saying. So if you're here this morning, you've never said yes to Jesus, the thoughts and the feelings and the emotions you have, that's God. That's God pulling you and drawing you. Everybody knows Jesus can say amen. We're going to look at a story out of the book of John this morning. I'm finally getting into the mode of saying tonight. I'm used to preaching in the morning. So last night I just told him, anytime I say this morning, it means tonight. So now I'll be saying tonight. So you know what, it means this morning, translation. So we're looking at a story out of the book of John. So if you don't know much about the Bible, the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four guys that all kind of documented the story of Jesus. And so they wrote about the story of Jesus, and we're going to look at John. He is kind of significant. It's kind of interesting. Like, one of the things that happened to John is they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him for what he preached and what he said and what he saw. And he couldn't hold it in. He had to tell everybody what he saw and what he saw Jesus do. He had to tell everybody about Jesus. And so they actually tried boiling him in oil to kill him. I don't know if you can imagine that, but they dipped him in a tank of boiling oil trying to kill him. He didn't die. Somehow he survived it through the grace of God. And so they couldn't kill him, so they banished him to an island. And so John was banished to an island. We have the book of Revelation. God actually appeared to him and gave him the vision of the book of Revelation when he was on this island. And so this is a guy that was in the inner circle of Jesus. He was one of the first disciples, one of the first ones to follow Jesus when Jesus started his ministry. And so he was the guy, when you read about Jesus getting together with just a few of the disciples, John was inside that group. How amazing is it that we have a book written by him? You know, even if you don't believe the Bible's true and you think Jesus is just a historical figure, you should pay attention to a guy that got to hang out with Jesus. Even if he was just a good man and a prophet, it's worth reading about him. It's worth reading about what Jesus said about himself and what he did. So I would encourage you, if you've never opened the Bible, if you don't follow Jesus, open the Bible and just read through the book of John. Just read through that one book and see what Jesus said about himself. See what somebody that walked with Jesus said and documented and wrote down. It's good stuff. So we're going to look at chapter 11 of John this morning. And it's kind of an interesting passage, kind of a different message and a different story and a different thing. If you were going to write a story, if you're going to write the Bible, if you're going to write a document that you wanted people to read and you wanted people to go along with and think, man, I just got to serve Jesus because it's so awesome and it's just incredible all the time, this is a story you would leave out of the Bible. This isn't one of those stories that just like, oh man, but that balloon illustration was amazing because that's kind of what my message is about. We get stuck in the junk sometimes. We get stuck in the hard spots. And this story is just like that, but it's about some people that were really close to Jesus. Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, they lived in Galilee. And this is some close friends of Jesus. In fact, when Jesus was in the area, he would stop by and see him. He would stay with them. They were tight friends. And so Lazarus, his good friend, is sick. And in fact, as we watch and as we read this, you'll see that they don't even refer to Lazarus by name. He just says, the one you love, the one you care about. So in verse 3, his two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So Jesus isn't very far away, and they send a message to him saying, your friend is sick. So Jesus, this would be, you know, they walked everywhere. They didn't have Macs. They didn't have cars. They didn't have all that. They didn't have highways. So if in today's time, so he was about a day and a half walk. So it'd be like he was out in Banks, hanging out in Banks, and we're in Hillsboro, and Lazarus is sick. It looks like he's going to die. His sisters are grieving and having a hard time with this. They're trying to help him, and he's dying right in front of them. He's dying, and literally he ends up dying. And Jesus is that close. He's not very far. He just has to walk a little ways, and he could be there. He could probably have been there by night if he would have just dropped everything and went. But Jesus doesn't. He just stays where he is. He doesn't go. You know, sometimes we go through hard things and it seems like Jesus isn't there. It seems like Jesus doesn't care. Like he just isn't coming in when we want him to. He just isn't following through and doing what we think he should do. We are no different than his close friends. That's the way they felt. That's the way they walked through life, is they dealt with things like that. You know, this is something they don't teach in Sunday school. They don't go through this. You know, sometimes it just seems like Jesus isn't there. Verse 5, so although Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Doesn't seem very loving, does it? Verse 7, finally he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you really going to go there again? So Jesus was in Judea, and they literally, that's where they ended up killing Jesus. They were trying to kill him. When it says they tried to stone him, they literally picked up rocks and threw at him, trying to kill him. They hated Jesus. The church of the day, the Jewish leaders, the religion of the day, they wanted Jesus dead. And you know, sometimes when they'd throw rocks at Jesus, they'd miss and hit the disciples. They wanted him dead. They weren't messing around. And so his disciples are like, Jesus, do you really want to go back to that place? Do you really want to go back to that place where they're trying to kill you? It's really a legitimate problem or legitimate concern. So Jesus replied to them. And sometimes Jesus, with his disciples, it would have been amazing to be back then, but sometimes he would just seems like he would say off-the-wall stuff. You know, like they're talking and he just kind of goes a different direction. And the disciples would literally sometimes get aside with each other, like, do you know what he's talking about? I don't know what he's talking about. You know, they would have these conversations. And so right here, Jesus replied. So they're talking about dying. They're talking about going back to this place, like he's literally going to go back where they're trying to kill him. And so Jesus replied, well, there's 12 hours of daylight in every day. During the day, people can walk safely. Well, yeah. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there's danger of stumbling because they have no light. So they're having this in-depth conversation. And John writes this down. And it must have been significant. You know, they don't write every little word that Jesus said. They kind of hit some of the main points and some of the things. And so this conversation is about life and death, and we're going to go back, and Lazarus is dying. Do you want to go there? Well, we don't really want to go there because we're going to die possible if we go there. And then Jesus just says, you know, there's 12 hours in a day. You know, the sun's up for 12 hours, and then it gets dark. When it's dark, you can't see where you're going. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it was one of those times where, okay, Jesus, yeah, what's your point? And he doesn't really make one. You know what the point is? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the one that helps us see. He's the one that gives us light. Psalms, getting out of order with my notes here. It's down. Oh, Psalms 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Jesus is the light of the world. So what he's saying here is you're only going to have the light for a little while, and then it's going to be dark. What are you going to do when it gets dark? What are we going to do? What are we going to be about? How are we going to walk when it's dark? How are we going to follow Jesus when he isn't right there in front of us? Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. I'm thankful he didn't stop the verse there, but I have overcome this world. So in this world, in this life, we're going to have problems. We're going to have trouble is what he says. But you know what? Our hope isn't in this world. Our hope isn't in this life. Our hope is beyond that. If we can keep our eyes on that, man, we can serve Jesus a lot better. We can stay focused on the stuff that is more important if we can keep our eyes on who Jesus is. And so Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And so the light's only going to be here for a short time. And so what he's telling his disciples, if you stay here where we are, where it's safe, and you don't follow me, you don't go with me, you're going to miss out on what God has. You know, we want to be the people that follow Jesus, even when it's tough. We want to be the people that follow Jesus wherever he's going. And we want to be those people. So he tells his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's only sleeping, he'll soon get better. In other words, hey, we don't have to go. We don't have to go risk our lives because Lazarus is just sleeping. Give it some time, he'll wake up. And so Jesus, then in verse 13, they thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly. How many of you guys need Jesus just to say it plainly? Lazarus is dead, and for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there. Doesn't sound like a very good friend. For now, you will really believe, and you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. So then verse 16, I love this. I'm sure a lot of people here can relate. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, kind of sounded like Eeyore here, said to his fellow disciples, let's go to and die with Jesus. You know, let's go back to Judea with Jesus. Let's just go die with him. You know, one of the ways you can look at the Bible and know it's real is because stories like this are in there. If you were writing a book that you wanted people to follow and you wanted to, you know, convince as many people as you could to follow Jesus, this is a story that you wouldn't necessarily put in there. This is a story you would want to skip over. But one of the things about it, these men, even Thomas, these men walked with Jesus. They saw him do miracles. They saw him do great things. They saw him do amazing things. And yet, that's kind of their outlook. Well, let's just go die with Jesus. You know, that's what's going to happen. They don't understand who Jesus is here. Jesus isn't going to die until he says, okay, it's time for me to die. They're not going to do anything to Jesus that it's not time for them to do yet. You know, where are these men's faith? You know, where are they? You know, you would think that, man, these guys, especially Peter, would be saying, man, let's go take Judea. Let's go back. Let's go shake things up. Let's go change the world. But yet they're like, well, yeah, I guess Jesus is crazy enough to go there and die. If he doesn't get it, then we'll just go die with him. So verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Now, that's significant. Part of the reason Jesus waited is he knew God was wanting to do a great miracle. He knew God wanted to do something. And they had a superstition in the day that within the first 3 days of somebody dying, is their spirit would kind of float around and could come back into them and they could come back to life. And I know I've done a little bit of reading, even back in the old days in America and different places, like they didn't have all the technology we have to know when somebody was really dead. And so sometimes people wouldn't be really dead and they'd bury them or put them in the tomb. And so 3 days was kind of the magic number of days before somebody was really, really, really dead. And not just, you know what I mean? And so Jesus waited. He waited and let Mary and Martha go through their brother dying. Like these are two women that would have been by his bedside when he was dying. I don't know if you've ever been through that with somebody. It's really a difficult time. These women went through that. They planned a funeral. They went through a funeral. And they went through all of this. And Jesus was just a little ways away. And he never showed up. Never came through. Never came through for him. And so he shows up. And Jesus has been dead in his grave for 4 days. So in verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had been dead in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But look at here, but Mary stayed back at the house. You know, I just think about those two women. Would I be the one that would run out and greet Jesus, or would I be the one back at the house, fuming, stewing? Why wasn't he here? You know, why did Jesus not come? My brother wouldn't be dead if Jesus would only come. You know, and so would we be the one that ran out there, or would we be the one staying? You know, have you ever felt that way with Jesus? You know, gone through something? I know I have. I've been through stuff where I'm just like, Jesus didn't come through. Why didn't you come through? I have faith that you could. I know you could, but you didn't. Why didn't you come through? It's okay to think those things. You know, it's okay to get angry at God sometimes and cry our heart, cry out and just be honest with God. He's big enough, he can handle it. You know, you can throw your problems at him. You can throw your burdens at him, and he's big enough to handle it. If he is who he says he is, he can handle it. He's not going to be intimidated. So verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. It's a true statement. You know, if Jesus would have been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And so verse 22, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever I asked. Verse 23, Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. And this gives us a lot of insight to where Martha is. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everybody else rises on the last day. And so she believed in Jesus. She believed he was who he said he was, but yet she didn't believe that Jesus could raise the dead. You know, so her brother dies, Jesus finally shows up, and what Martha believed here is that if Jesus would have been there in time, he could have healed him. But now that he's dead, he can't do anything. His hands are tied. Can't do anything. And so when Jesus says, your brother will live again, he's meaning like today. She's thinking, no, when you come back or when we all raise at the last time and go together to heaven with God, that he'll rise then with everybody else, but not today. So Jesus told her in verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world. So she believed that even though we die, what the Bible teaches, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe in God, if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that we don't die. We go straight from this life to present, to being present with him. You know, the reason Jesus had to come and die, I don't know if you were here last week, and I heard you guys had an amazing service last weekend, the resurrection, celebrating the resurrection. You know, the reason we gather on Sunday is because we celebrate the resurrection. That's why Christians across the country, across the world, celebrate on Sunday. We don't necessarily celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, although East River does, and that's awesome. But we gather on Sunday because we're celebrating the resurrection. The significance of the resurrection, the significance of the cross, that Jesus died, is because we are sinful people. We have issues in our life. Every one of us do. This building doesn't collapse and fall in on us when we show up to church with sin in our life, because Jesus paid the price for it already. The reason I can tell the guys that I work with, man, it doesn't matter what kind of junk you have in your background or last night or, you know, it's because Jesus died for that. When Jesus was here on earth, when he was walking around, when he was hanging out with John, he lived a sinless life. So when he died, he didn't have to die for his own sins. And so he took ours on himself when he died. The wages of sin is death. Something has to die. Because we've sinned, in order for us to be made righteous, something has to die. Jesus said, let it be me. Let me take their place. So Jesus died in our place. And so if you believe that, what Bible says and what Jesus is saying here, if you believe that, then when you die, you're going to go right directly to his presence. You can be in the presence of God. And so when we die, when we pass on from this life, we get to be with the Father. We get to be with Jesus. That's what Jesus is saying here. And so Martha understood that. She understood that in the last day, we're all going to raise up and be in heaven with God. But she didn't know it was going to be today. So our hope is not in this life. If it was, we'd all be tangled up in the tree. Our hope is beyond that. Our hope is that Jesus made it past the tree. Jesus didn't get hung tangled up in the cross and end there. Just like last week we celebrated, he rose from the dead, meaning that we can go past the grave, that he conquered the grave. So when he says, in this world you will have trouble, don't be worried about that, because I've overcome this world. It's because he lived even though he died. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. There was a dad that brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus. And I like this guy because I think I can kind of relate. So his son had a demon, and he would throw himself in the fire and trying to kill himself and all that. And I don't relate to that, but I relate to how the father responded. So father takes this boy to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you can, heal my son. And Jesus looks at him, and I think almost kind of sarcastically, Mark 9:23, he says, what do you mean if I can? Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. Anything is possible if a person believes. Why do you mean if I can? And so the man's response in verse 24, this is what I can relate to. The father instantly cried out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe, Jesus, but help me in my lack of belief. Help me where I fall short. Help me where I don't believe. And so the man, I think, was pretty honest, but that's, I think, a lot of us here today. It's like, yes, Jesus, I believe you're who you say you are. Just like Martha, I believe you're who you say you are. I don't know if this situation can be helped. I don't know if you can work in this situation. I don't know if you can deal with what I'm going through. I know I'm supposed to believe, Lord, so help me believe. The Bible says faith, it comes from hearing the word of God. Our faith comes from hearing a fresh word of God. You know, at some point in your life, if you are here and you follow Jesus, at some point in your life, you made a decision to follow Jesus. And so you had a level of faith. What are you doing with that faith? Where have you gone with that faith? We can leave it there or we can grow in it. I love OSL, and I want to encourage you. It's awesome. It's starting today. If you haven't taken OSL, I just want to make a big plug for it. It's awesome. And part of the thing is we got to be in the Word if we want to build our faith. We got to be in the Word. And, you know, it's cool that you're here this morning because there's several ways we can be in the Word. You know, the Bible is alive. It's active. And what that means is the Holy Spirit is alive today. Jesus is alive today. He's not on the cross. He's not in a grave. He's alive. And so he ministers through his word. When you pick up the Bible and you start reading it, there's no other book like it. It's amazing. The Bible, as you read it, it reads you. There's times that I come to the word. I got to be honest. I can't paint just this amazing picture. It's just incredible every time. There's times I come to the word and you read it. And it's like, wow, that was good. But then there's other times I come to the word and it's like, oh man, Jesus, you know, thank you for just reading my mail and dealing with everything I had that you needed to deal with. If we're not in the word on a consistent basis, we don't ever get to that other side of things. We don't ever get to that other point. So faith comes by hearing it and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to be in the Bible to hear the word of God. You know, the other thing that hearing the word of God, it's in a setting like this right here. You know, we need to be in church. I don't know if you come every Sunday, but we need to be in a setting like this where we're listening to the word. Because I guarantee you, and one of the comforts I have as a pastor, it's not all about what I say. Because the Holy Spirit's ministering to everybody here. The Holy Spirit's here moving. And so I'm faithful to say what I feel like God shared and put on my heart. But the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. The word's alive. Even when we preach it, even when we speak it, the word is alive. And so you need to be in this kind of a setting where you're hearing the word and it's building faith. You need to be in a setting like OSL or like a small group or Bible study where you're hanging out with people and just talking about the word. I want to encourage you, and one of the things we don't do very often, but when you're hanging out with friends, share the word together. You know, when you're doing your devotions, bring it up and talk to your friends about it. It might be kind of awkward at first, but talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's done. Talk about the good things of the Lord. That builds our faith. That's how we build our faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, hearing what Jesus is saying, that fresh word. So in verse 28, it says, then she returned to Mary, talking about Martha here. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha had met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? They asked. They told him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You know, Jesus cares about where you're at. There's sometimes we just have to go through stuff. This world is wicked. It's sinful. There's junk in this world that we have to deal with. And sometimes it's just stuff we have to go through. But you can know that Jesus cares. He sees you right where you are. He knew how this story was going to end. He knew what was going to happen. But when he saw his friends weeping, when he saw his friends in trouble, when he saw them, he broke down and wept. You know, Jesus, sometimes we forget that he was a man. Just as much as he was God, that's something we fully don't understand. But Jesus physically was emotionally moved by seeing his friends hurting. Jesus was emotionally moved by seeing his friends go through stuff. You can know right where you're at, whatever is going on in your life, Jesus cares about it. even though it might seem like he's delaying or not getting there or not giving you the answer you want or not doing it in your time, even though all those things, Jesus cares. He's right there with you, and he cares about you emotionally and physically. He cares about where you are. And so verse 36, the people who were standing by said, see how much he loved him. But then some said, this man healed the blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? They still didn't get it. They still didn't know what Jesus was all about. Verse 38, Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. So what this kind of looked like is where Lazarus was, it was kind of down. And so there was probably some steps going down, and there was a stone over the entrance. And so Jesus said, roll the stone away, he told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed? I don't know why Jesus was angry here, but I have a feeling this wasn't long before Jesus was going to die, and they still didn't get it. He had told them over and over again. They still didn't get it. These are men that walked with Jesus. These are men that saw him do the stuff. You know, for us, sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes, you know, we can't be too hard on them because we go through the same stuff. And also, sometimes we believe, or we will say or we'll think, if I only saw Jesus do a miracle, if I only saw Jesus do something cool, I would believe. They did see it, and they still didn't get it. They still didn't understand. You know, you don't have to just see amazing things to believe in God. You don't have to see those things. And if you do see those things, it doesn't guarantee you're going to believe in God. So one thing here that's kind of going on is Jesus took them back to the tomb. Sometimes we have to go back to things that are painful, to a place where something's dead, to the place where we have to deal with something in order for Jesus to move. Now, I don't know if that's for you this morning, but sometimes we have to go back and forgive somebody. Sometimes we have to go back and dig up something that's kind of smelly, kind of a little stinky, it's been dead for a while. Sometimes we have to go back and bring that up and lay it before Jesus. Sometimes we have to face those things and go back to a place of pain in order for God to move. I don't know if there's anybody like that this morning, but I know in my life sometimes I'll just say, Lord, is there anything I need to get right with you? Is there anything I need to make right with others? And sometimes there's stuff that we have to go back that we may have missed and take care of and clean up. So if God's saying that to you this morning, I want to encourage you to don't be afraid to go back. Jesus is going to be there with you. Verse 41. So they rolled a stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven. Now this is kind of funny. You got to picture this. His disciples are there. They're at this grave. They're mourning. And Jesus looks up and just says, Father, thank you for hearing me. And he's saying this out loud. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they will believe that you sent me. And so Jesus is having this conversation with God right in front of him. He's praying out loud. He's saying, okay, God, I'm saying this out loud for all these people to hear, you know, so that they'll know that I'm talking to you and I'm doing this through you. So then Jesus shouted right on the heels of that, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped with headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. So here's Lazarus. He's down in the tomb. Jesus says, come out. And here comes Lazarus. You know, he's got the headcloth on. He's got his feet bound. He's like a mummy, you know, wrapped up, because he was dead. And I don't know if he hopped out or if he floated out. If he hopped out, there's two miracles that happened. One is that he came to life. The other is that he didn't die coming out of by falling back down the stairs, these stone stairs. So you know what's amazing? One of the things amazing about this is when Jesus healed Lazarus, or when he brought him back to life, he didn't bring him back to sickness. He brought him back whole. When Jesus gets a hold of our lives and he fixes stuff, he fixes it. He doesn't just do it partway. Jesus didn't just save us a little bit. We aren't just going to get to be in heaven with him. We're going to experience all that heaven is. We don't just get a little glimpse. We get all of it. Amen? That's where our hope is. That's where our joy is. So Jesus said, Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you just believe? Those disciples, like, if you just come with me, you're going to see what God's going to do. You're going to see the glory of God if you just stick with me. They were risking everything. They were risking their lives to follow Jesus back to Judea. They were risking their lives. They knew it. They knew what they were doing. But Jesus said, follow me and you're going to see great things. Jesus says the same thing to us today. If we follow him, we're going to see him move. I'm not just saying showing up to church or opening our Bible once in a while. If we really do follow him, seek his word, if we really do follow him, we're going to see Jesus move. You know, Jesus, I'm going to close with this, and the worship team can come back up if you'd like. Jesus risked his life to go to Jerusalem. He really did. He risked his life. Ultimately, he died in Jerusalem. So he risked his life to go to Jerusalem to see Lazarus raised from the dead, raised in the physical sense. Jesus went to Jerusalem and gave his life. He died and gave his life so that we could be risen spiritually. Isn't that a cool picture? You know, Jesus went and risked his life, but then he went and gave it all and put it all on the cross. Why don't you stand with me? Revelation 2:7 has a great promise. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. What that means, he's going to give fruit of the tree of life. We're never going to die. We're going to be in the presence of God, in the paradise of God. It's a cool promise if we just follow Jesus, if we just believe. Why don't you bow your heads with me? And I want to give an opportunity. If you're one of those that I was talking to that has never said yes to Jesus, has never made a choice to serve the Lord, never made the choice to follow Jesus, this morning's your morning. I want to give you an opportunity. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to have you look up at me and we're going to pray. And then I'm going to ask you to share it with somebody else. You don't need to come forward. Don't need to make it anything. But is there anybody here that would want to do that this morning for the first time? If you're here and you want to do that, would you look up at me just so I can pray with you? If there's anybody here, would you look up with me? Is anybody here? Is that why you're looking at me? Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for your word. Lord, would you help us to be in your word? Would you build our faith? Lord God, I pray that we would hold on even through tough times to the point where we see your glory. Lord God, that we would see your glory. We would see you for who you are, Lord Jesus. We love you and we give our lives to you. We want to follow you this evening or this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.